Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined today by George Kurtz. No Craig Mish with us today. He'll be back, I believe, on Monday. And, you know, we got a pretty busy day here on the show. We're going to talk about Thursday Night Football last night. Pretty big win for the San Francisco 49ers. Pretty big loss for the Seattle Seahawks. They are drawing pretty thin to the playoffs at this point. They kind of needed to win that one. Jim Sanis from Number Fire is going to join me to talk FanDuel NFL DFS here in a little bit. Of course, a little bit of fantasy rally. But, I mean, the biggest news of the day, George, Mike White not cleared by the New York Jets team doctors. Zach Wilson back in from the cold, going to be starting at quarterback for the New York Football Jets. And as someone who bet on the New York Football Jets to beat the Detroit Lions, I can't say I am particularly happy about this.
Yeah, I waited on that. I like the Jets this week, too, with Mike White. I liked them a lot with Mike White. As well as Detroit has played, that's at home. Outdoors in the go. It should be miserable weather here on Sunday in New York. Probably not going to like the Lions as much here, but Zach Wilson, listen, I'll be an optimist here. It's an opportunity, right, Davis? It's an opportunity. You're playing a bad Detroit defense. A team that lets up a lot of air yards there, so maybe he can do some damage there and have a chance to get that starting job back. But I'll tell you right now, if the Jets lose this game and it's viewed as anything that it's Zach Wilson's fault, it's going to be a nightmare for Zach Wilson Monday in New York. It'll be a disaster for him here. The fans will be calling for his head.
Well, you know, pretty unfortunately, I think that is going to happen. I mean, honestly, if I was the New York Jets coaching group, I would maybe just want to go with Joe Flacco. Like, at least, you know, at least in that perspective, it's like, what's the worst that's going to happen with Flacco? Okay, you lose, like everyone expects. It just, because if you're totally right. If Zach Wilson loses this game, I just don't know if he can ever start again for the New York Jets. And he's got 2 years left on his contract. Like, they would like to get some more out of him. Let's go ahead and turn to our headlines here. Friday, December 16th, the 49ers very early, honestly, week 15, clinching the division title. The last couple years, George, this has basically been one of the most competitive divisions in football. We've been pretty close to having all four of these teams make the playoffs over this last little bit. And has not really looked like that. The starting quarterbacks for these teams in week 15, Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, you know, Colt McCoy. It's not that great. Tyrell Terry retires from the NBA, citing that this is one of the darkest times of his life. Steph Curry, huge shakeup here in the NBA. Steph Curry is going to be out for a couple weeks with this shoulder injury. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Just looked horrible. Looked like one of those injuries where you immediately saw the guy is in a lot of pain. The Golden State Warriors are honestly, they have a mountain left to climb to secure their spot in the playoffs. The organization is going to be asking a ton from Klay Thompson, from Jordan Poole, from Draymond Green. And finally, some news that is just going to bring a song into my co-host George Kurtz's heart. Carlos Rodon, left-handed starting pitcher, signs a six-year, $162 million deal with the New York Yankees. George, you got to just be doing cartwheels. I think this is an amazing contract.
I don't know about cartwheels yet, but I'm certainly happy to have him there. I think this is one of the things that Judge was promised, by the way, by Steinbrenner to come back and sign with the Yankees, that they would add to the team. Because up until this point, this is the same exact Yankee team as last year that couldn't beat Houston. So what was going to change? Now Rodon changes that, gives you two really ace starters there. Here's the thing about Rodon. He's going to be on the team for 6 years, and he didn't get the seventh year. And listen, $27 million a year probably came in a little lighter than I thought he would. I thought he might get more than that. But that's 972 games he'll be on the Yankees roster for. You're probably hoping for two-thirds of that he'll be on the active roster. He gets hurt a lot. You know, so you really hope, like I said, two-thirds is on the roster for, including the playoffs. You want him to be healthy for the playoffs. That's really what you're looking for here. Like I said, there's no way he's going to be making 30 starts a year. That's just not what Rodon does there, especially 2 years back-to-back. History tells us he will get hurt again. He's had Tommy John surgery. He's had shoulder surgery. He's had shoulder fatigue, other injuries as well here. Love the signing for the Yankees. When healthy, left-handed Yankee Stadium should be devastating. And when Frankie Montas is your fifth starter, you're doing pretty good.
Okay, I got a question for you, though. Assuming, that this was an option, that Carlos Correa was interested, would you rather have Carlos Correa for the contract he signed with the San Francisco Giants, right? Because the Yankees don't have a shortstop. Isaiah Kiner Falefa, some of these guys.
Don't start with me.
Yeah. So would you rather have Carlos Correa on the massive deal he signed or Carlos Rodon on the deal that he signed if you were a Yankees fan? Obviously, you are a Yankees fan.
You're not going to do Correa, all right? Just like the Dodgers couldn't do Correa, the Yankees couldn't do it either. Because he's a former Houston Astro, that would not have worked. It would not have. The fans would have crushed him. Granted, the Dodgers view Correa as the main guy in the scandal. The Yankee fans view Altuve as the main guy because of the buzzer. All right, so it's a little different there, but they would have crushed Correa. If he didn't get off to a good start, he would have gotten crushed by the fans and in the media. To answer your question, though, I would rather have...
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin. It's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Trey Turner. The first shortstop that was signed, then Rodon. I think Trey Turner's that kind of player. Shortstop, second base, little outfield there. Great athlete. I would rather have Turner than Rodon, but not Correa.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have Correa over Rodon, but Turner for sure the best. All right, guys, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the program. When we return, George and I are going to look at the fantasy standouts from last night's game, a little bit of FanDuel, NFL, DFS. Fantasy Reality, stay with us here for the next hour. We'll see y'all back in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Day here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Of course, as always, on a Friday morning, we are going to take a look at the fantasy standouts from last night's game. We had a 21-13 win, of course, by the San Francisco 49ers over the Seattle Seahawks. Was not really, George, that interesting of a game. I mean, it got a little bit dramatic late after Noah Fant scored his touchdown. But, you know, just the 49ers felt like they were in control pretty much the entire way. Brock Purdy played pretty well. I mean, I did kind of think the Seahawks might give them a game, but the 49ers defense is just too good. And their Super Bowl odds, I mean, how many teams could go down to a seventh round quarterback and their Super Bowl odds haven't really changed? I mean, I guess that's showing kind of what the market thinks of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, the last night's game was an interesting one to look at from both sides here. You're talking a Thursday game on the road, which generally favors the home team, right? We don't like road teams on a Thursday. Divisional game. So it was Brock Purdy's Mr. Irrelevant, his first divisional game, his first divisional road game, Thursday night game. No Deebo Samuel. All right. We know, listen, San Fran's the better team. We knew that coming in here, but a lot of things were stacked against them here. And it was an important game for Seattle. You already mentioned it in the opening here. I think they're running out of gas. Well, I mean, they may be out of gas, actually. Losing last night may have ended it. And they play Kansas City next week. Good luck to you, Seattle. I really thought they had to win at least one of them, either beat San Fran or Kansas City to stay in the race here, and that's not likely to happen now. So they're probably toast. So it was hard to judge the way it would go here. It ended up being, I mean, I know the final score is 21-13, but San Fran dominated that game. You know, they Brock Purdy, you want to call it a game manager, you want to call it whatever you want to call it. He didn't make the mistake. Didn't make any mistakes here, and that's all that defense is all they needed. You know, once they got up more than one score, two scores, boy, that defensive line was like pinning the ears back, and away we go with Geno. All right, and there was just no answer for it. No answer for it from Seattle at all. Then they ended up losing Tyler Lockett late as well to the broken index finger. I don't know if it's on his left hand or his right hand. So I think Seattle's toast. I think San Fran is the second best team in the NFC behind Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, I think you are probably right. So getting to our fantasy standouts, Brock Purdy did have himself a pretty strong game, 17-26, 217 yards, two touchdowns, doesn't add anything on the ground. Christian McCaffrey, I mean, just unbelievable stuff from him, continuing to be one of the best running, I mean, he's still the number one running back in fantasy football. 26 rushes, 108 yards, and a rushing touchdown. 6 receptions on 8 targets, 30 yards. And probably the biggest storyline for the fantasy football playoffs and for, you know, all these best ball tournaments and everything, George Kittle coming up out of nowhere, his biggest game of the season, 4 receptions, 93 yards, and a touchdown. I'm a little peeved, George. He couldn't get one more reception. I had a 9-1 same game parlay with over 5 receptions, over 65 yards, and an anytime touchdown for Mr. Kittle. I needed one more catch, and they didn't want to give that to me. But I mean, pretty massive stuff for him there. Juwan Jennings chipping in with Deebo Samuel out. Ray McCloud, 3 targets, and probably most interesting, I would say, the biggest development with the 49ers and something we're going to have to think about next year is that with Elijah Mitchell out, this has not been a Shanahan, you know, screw around situation. Jordan Mason playing very little, Tyrion Davis-Price not playing at all, Tevin Coleman not playing at all. Like, this is really just CMC's backfield.
Yeah, that doesn't. I think it's pretty easy to see it now. Anyway, they don't really have much of a choice, right? You got to play CMC because you don't know what your passing offense is going to be. The Kittle, I mean, he had a good game yesterday, but the big play was a busted coverage, right? No one covered him. You know, either they fell for whatever. They didn't cover him, and he was wide open. I don't know how often that's going to happen, but I don't think we should be surprised by Kittle or McCaffrey. You were on Kittle. I was on McCaffrey big yesterday because, you know, when you have the rookie quarterback on the road, I mentioned Thursday night, two things are going to happen. He's going to find that back out of the backfield, especially with someone as good as McCaffrey, and he's going to find that big target in George Kittle, right? It's going to be his favorite player. No one else mattered last night. Maybe this will change when Debo's healthy here, but we may not know that until the playoffs. But, he wasn't throwing the ball to the secondary. Brandon Ayuk was an afterthought here, right? They didn't need for him to do that. I think that's where they're going to keep managing things. Now, the 49ers, I mean, realistically, they have very little to play for the rest of the regular season, Davis. They could catch Minnesota for the number 2 seed. That's it. That's all they can do. They're not going to catch Philadelphia. That's not happening here. So maybe over the next couple of games, they do try and have Purdy throw more into the secondary here to get him to be that guy, because you're going to have to do that in the playoffs. Maybe not in round one, where they're probably going to play the Commanders or the Giants, maybe the Lions, whichever team makes it out of that. But in round two, yeah, you could end up facing the Cowboys, and you might need to score some more points there. So I think the next couple of weeks, they might do something like that. But this is going to be a very conservative offense. Get the ball to Kittle and give the ball to McCaffrey as much as possible.
Yep. And on the other side of the aisle, the Seahawks, I mean, they tried to lean on their superstars and got nothing. Geno Smith, 238 passing yards, 18 rushing yards, only the one touchdown to Noah Fant. Kenneth Walker, I mean, it was probably a little bit too soon for him to come back from this ankle injury. I mean, he looked fine, maybe not totally 100%, but he just had nowhere to run against this 49ers defense either. 47 rushing yards. I guess you could cast it in a positive light that he was able to generate four receptions and 32 receiving yards. Travis Homer also had three receptions in this game. 9.9 points in half point PPR, 12 points in full PPR. I guess that's probably, he didn't kill you, but it's not the best thing he could have done either. I assume that Tyler Lockett is on a lot of fantasy teams that have made the playoffs. Seven receptions for 68 yards. Same thing for DK Metcalf. He only had 55 yards. Like, not a great spot if you started these guys in the playoffs. And then Noah Fant coming through with the 14 PPR points, five receptions, 32 receiving yards, and a touchdown. I mean, because all the Seattle guys were so cheap, George, Geno, waiver wire, Kenneth Walker, 10th round, DK Metcalf, 5th round, Tyler Lockett, 9th round. Like, these guys were going to be on a lot of teams that were in the fantasy football playoffs this week, and they kind of just screwed everyone, to be honest.
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, I don't think we can be surprised. San Fran, are they the best defense in the NFL? If not the best, they're one of them. All right, that defense is legit all the way over. That front seven, I mean, Bosa and company there, they're coming after you. And they play the run well, too. It's not like you're going to – they just pass rushers. They can play the run. This is a legitimate defense. This could be a very tough team to defeat in the playoffs here. I mean, I don't know. I think they're the second-best team in the NFC. I think Philadelphia is better. I think the fact that game will be in Philadelphia as well really benefits the Eagles. I don't see Brock Purdy going at the Philly and doing much damage there. But like I said, they're good. So I don't think you can be surprised yesterday. I did start Lockett in one of my leagues, you know, actually two of my leagues. Didn't really have much of a choice there. And yeah, listen, I'll take the 13 points, the 13 point, whatever he had there. I'm going to take that and run. I thought it was, you know, watching the game, I thought it was worse. So I'll take that and be happy with it. But I can't be surprised by it. You know, I thought he would need touchdown deodorant to really pay off yesterday. Didn't get that. And now he probably lost it for the rest of the year anyway. So it sort of is what it is here. But starting anyone against San Fran, you're probably rolling with dice here more than you should.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be interesting for them heading into the play, or, you know, heading into the rest of the fantasy football playoffs as well, because they play some teams with, you know, a fair amount of fantasy starters, including George. This has got to be the most interesting, is they play at the Las Vegas Raiders in week 17. That game is really going to matter for the 49ers, because the 49ers maybe would be able to top the Vikings for being the second seed in the conference. That's obviously going to give them, it's going to help them avoid the Eagles until the NFC Conference Championship game. So that game is going to matter. We have Josh Jacobs, who is, he is the number one guy that got teams to the fantasy football playoffs. And in underdog, he had a 50% advance rate to the playoffs in the FFPC main event. It was over 60%. Like, basically, you draft Josh Jacobs, you make it to the fantasy football playoffs, but Jacobs is going to have to play against this really tough 49ers defense in the championship week, so that just kind of creates a pretty...
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Interesting dichotomy. So there you go, everyone. That is our fantasy standouts from Thursday Night Football. Here in a few moments, I'm going to be joined by Jim Sanis from Number Fire. We are going to do a complete look at FanDuel NFL DFS for week 15, the 10-game slate, not the 3-game slate. I hope you guys all enjoy that. So don't go anywhere. Jim is going to join me here in just a moment. See you guys back then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Jim Sanis. We are going to dive into the nuts and bolts of the FanDuel NFL DFS slate this weekend, week 15. We got some massive spreads, right? You know, 14 points, Chiefs-Texans. We got Eagles-Bears. So, you know, this is kind of the rhythm that we've settled into with this NFL season is that all the teams with the giant totals, Jim, are huge favorites, and we don't necessarily want to use bringbacks from the other team. My prediction is that the Dallas Cowboys-Jacksonville Jaguars game ends up being super, super popular because of the removal of the Bills from the main slate. Tightest spread. You know, the Jaguars just won people $1 million last weekend. People love the Cowboys. You know, just seems like everyone's going there.
And it's a bummer because that's objectively like the best game. Like I kind of wish I could just load up on that one and not worry about projected roster rates because like there's so much like if I feel like just an optimal lineup at each position, not ignoring what I've already done, I'd have three Jags in there most likely. And you know, you probably don't want to do that given the popularity of those guys. So I still have plenty of exposure to that game, but it does increase the incentive to try to find other potential gems, games that could shoot out, go over expectations. I think we might have some, but it's not an easy endeavor for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at the quarterbacks. Headlined, of course, by Patrick Mahomes, 9,100. Jalen Hurts, who you and I both, I think each of the last 3 weeks, we've identified Hurts as the best combination of ceiling and percentage of rosters that he's going to be on. Justin Herbert may be trending towards actually being playable again, given that you know he's not throwing to DeAndre Carter and Trey McKitty every single week. Joe Burrow, I have no interest in. Think this game is going to absolutely stink. Justin Fields, fairly interesting as the underdog against the Eagles. I mean, we know he makes his hay via the rushing. Dak Prescott, really affordable at 7,500. I think he is going to be rather popular. We got Trevor Lawrence in there. You know, maybe a little bit of Mac Jones sprinkled in because his options are so cheap. Where are you heading at quarterback?
Yeah, I think the low salary guys are Lawrence and Dak, and those are kind of the obvious ways to go. So if you need salary savers, that's where I go. But I think even once you adjust for salary, once again, fourth week in a row, Jalen Hurts is the best option on the board from a range of outcomes perspective because facing a Bears defense that should be healthier off their bye, but is still super banged up and not very good. Hurts is tremendous, gets Dallas Goedert back this week most likely. So if I can get there, I want to go to Hurts as often as possible. I do think that Justin Herbert is pretty intriguing because this game is intriguing. I think both teams match up very well. Both offenses match up well with the opposing defense. So I'd expect the Chargers to move the ball through the air. He can run it back with Derrick Henry on the opposing side. So I think to me, I want to get to Hurts, and I think I'll be able to do so based on some salaries elsewhere. But if I can't get there, Herbert is a good consolation. And then spending down for Dak or Lawrence, also pretty attractive for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty interested in Hurts, obviously. I'd maybe be more interested in Mahomes, actually. If Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman don't play, I think they probably both will, which means that they're going to have six wide receivers active. They'll probably make Jody Fortson an inactive and then rotate all of those guys around, you know, pretty much making Smith-Schuster, Watson, you know, all these guys. Now, if those guys don't play, maybe a smidge interested in, you know, Sky Moore, who is up to like 40% of the snaps on any given week. So monitor that pretty closely. But I mean, that game is just going to be so bad. Like the Texans, they have nothing left to offer us at this point. Moving to running back, Josh Jacobs, of course, continues to headline here at 9,200 against the Patriots. Derrick Henry, likely going to be the most rostered player of the entire slate at 8,900. Austin Eckler, whose role has actually sneakily gotten worse since the return of Keenan Allen, down to an 18% target share the last month of the season. Tony Pollard, 8,200. Never thought I would see it. I mean, honestly, to me, pretty much unplayable at that price, other than using leverage on that game. Joe Mixon is 8,100. Miles Sanders is 7,800. Probably the biggest thing we're waiting to figure out is Ramondre Stevenson going to play? If Ramondre doesn't play, is Damian Harris going to play? If both of those guys are out, Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong are free on FanDuel. And I think you could make an argument that both of them are fairly playable. Where are you headed at running back this week, Jim?
If we get no Ramondre, Damian Harris did travel last week, which I think is kind of encouraging. Limited practice on both Wednesday and Thursday. Heavy preference for him to get a full practice in by Friday. But I think regardless, you'd want to go Harris if there's no Ramondre, given the lack of trust they've shown in those two guys when they've given the been given the chance throughout this entire year. I don't think they feel great about those guys. So I would want to go Harris or Damian Harris if we get no Ramondre. Other running backs alike, I think that Derrick Henry, well worth the lofty salary. No Dontrell Hilliard likely is going to open up more passing game work for Derrick Henry. Even when they were down big against Jacksonville last week, Henry is still catching passes at 5 targets in that game. So I think that's a pretty impactful injury in terms of how it impacts our view of Derrick Henry. So I do like him a lot. In the mid-range, I want to get a read on where people are at on Joe Mixon and Alvin Kamara. Mixon's role last week was pretty bad compared to where it had been previously, but still went for 106 yards in scrimmage. It was his first game back. Maybe they up him in the second game. And there's no Vita Vea for the Bucs. And that's a pretty big impact move. Mixon's salary came down $400. I don't think people will be there because of how bad his role was last week, which is a legitimate concern. But I think he still has like a big game in his range of outcomes. And I want to be there. People are not going to be there. Alvin Kamara is kind of the same thing. I'd expect him to be more popular than Mixon because it is a good matchup. But no Mark Ingram. Offensive line is healthier now than it was. Kamara himself healthier than he was. And faced a lot of really difficult defenses in that super disappointing stretch. So I want to buy back in a Mixon Kamara, especially if they're going to be low rostered, but Harris is kind of a focal point. And then Derrick Henry and Travis Etienne at 7,000, similar where I think it's a good spot to buy back against the Cowboys defense.
I think that Etienne selection is probably like, there's a lot of layers to that. So the first being he's like a pretty good points per dollar value. So I think people are going to click him a little bit. But you're right. I mean, Alvin Kamara is trending towards being massive chalk with Mark Ingram out. Good, you know, good game script against the Falcons. But, you know, I don't think that the Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz teams are going to be using Etienne as a bring back. I think they'll be using Kirk. You know, I think they'll be using Zay Jones. So, like, I do think there's, like, an interesting little wrinkle where Etienne might be kind of popular, but he is actually still leverage on, you know, a lot of your opponent's team. So I like that play quite a bit. Obviously, really like Kamara. I would be saying that if Damian Harris doesn't play and Ramondre doesn't play, I'm putting my chips in with Pierre Strong. Just think he's really good. I think he's got a pretty good, you know, kind of that Shane Vereen skill set for the New England Patriots, and he's obviously super cheap. Moving to the wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase headlining everyone here at 9,000. Devontae Adams is going to be mega popular at 8,500. Don't love DeAndre Hopkins as much in 0.5 PPR. Amon-Ra St. Brown maybe was going to be fairly popular this week. I kind of thought that if no weather, Mike White starting, I kind of thought Detroit, New York would be the secondary game that gets really steamed up in terms of people wanting to play, even though the Jets defense is pretty good. But with Zach Wilson starting, people are not going to want to play pieces from that game. So it makes Amon-Ra St. Brown fairly interesting. Love A.J. Brown. Love CeeDee Lamb. Devonta Smith for like the 19th week in a row is my gold star play at wide receiver. Where are you headed here?
I'm going to your gold star play once again. I'd expect Dallas Goedert back for this game, but even in the games Goedert played before his injury, Devonta Smith's target share was still around 24%. If you give me a 24% target share tied to a very good offense against a very bad defense, I'm going to want that every time. So Devonta Smith at 72, going right back there. I just love this range in general. You got Devonta Smith, Mike Williams, 72, facing off against a Titan secondary that is atrocious. And we saw Mike Will get to 6 targets in his first game back. So his target share was bad, but he faced a lot of tight coverage from Xavier Howard in that game, and he's not going to get that here. So I love going back to Mike Williams, who's shown big yardage upside at a low salary, playing indoors with a superstar quarterback. I love all those boxes he checks. Christian Kirk, I'm thinking people will be pretty heavy on Zay Jones this week at 63, which is fair. Their usage is almost identical in the games they played this year, but that's just going to keep people away from Kirk, whose salary has come down about $600 from its peak, down to 71 right now. And I think that he's a pretty good play in that game that I do like a lot. So to me, the key range this week is Devontae Smith, Mike Williams, Christian Kirk, all in the low 7,000s. As far as value plays, I think Michael Gallup, I know the production has not been there, but like, he's getting deep targets. I think Dak's a tremendous quarterback and can connect there despite this game being outdoors. So I really want to get to Gallup. I know it has not been there. It hasn't happened yet, but I still think it can. I still got faith that we can get there eventually. So Gallup at 57, my primary salary saver this week.
Yep, I'm totally with you. Finally, tight end, Travis Kelce, Dalton Schultz, Taysom Hill. Dallas Goedert, if he returns, seems pretty good. Pat Freiermuth actually seems fairly interesting as well. And, you know, I don't actually think very many people are going to play Greg Dulcich at 5,600, despite the fact that I believe last I checked, he's third in the NFL amongst tight ends in target share. I mean, maybe controversial. How much worse can Brett Rypien be than Russell Wilson, honestly, at this point? Schultz, I think, is probably I think he is going to be far and away the most popular tight end, though.
Yeah, Dulcich, the one game he played with Rypien, had 9 targets, 51 yards against the best defense in football in the Jets. So he played well there. I think the guy I like the most, though, in large part because I want to get to Hurts, is actually Cole Kmet. I think a Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, Cole Kmet bring back kind of lineup might be my baseline this week, like for a higher dollar single entry team. I think I might want to get there because Kmet, in the one game with no Darnell Mooney, 7 targets in that game. He's played well this year, so I like Kmet. Dallas Goedert, same game at 6,000. I think those guys, the primary spend down pieces for me, Goedert and Kmet in that one game.
There we go. I can co-sign Cole Kmet as well. Guys, everyone, make sure you check out Jim on Twitter at Jim Sanis. Make sure you read all his stuff over at Number Fire. Listen to the Number Fire DFS podcast. We're going to go ahead and run into break here.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Real quick, on the program, I'll be rejoined by George Kurtz here in just a moment for us to do fantasy reality. See you guys back in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into fantasy or reality, need to remind everyone to please be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. You're going to get all the news, notes, injuries, analysis, highlights, everything that you need to keep your sports wagering career on track. We're also, of course, going to help you out with your fantasy football teams as we head to the fantasy football playoffs. I mean, it's actually already started here in week 15. So make sure that you are following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. You can also follow us on Instagram as well. So George, Craig and I, we normally make our favorite pick against the spread. I believe I'm sitting at 500 for the year. I believe Craig is one game over 500. I can't for the life of me remember what team that either of us took last Friday. I'm pretty sure I took the Seahawks, who did not end up covering. No, that was the week before. I'm going to have to go back and check the tape on that. But I do have my favorite selection this week locked in. What is your favorite pick against the spread? You can sub in for Craig.
Yes, and I don't have a really listen, it's my favorite one, but I'm not thrilled about it here. I'm going to go with the Saints here, -4 against Desmond Ridder, making his first NFL start here in the Falcons here. Not much of an offense in Atlanta anyway. I think that New Orleans defense is legit. I put the low-scoring game here as well, so I'm going to like the under in this contest as well. I like a bunch of unders this week. But my favorite spread, I'll take New Orleans, -4. I generally always bet against the rookie quarterback, especially one who may not be starting, if not for the fact that the starting quarterback, Mariota, got hurt, knee injury, on IR, done with the season.
There we go. All right, my favorite one. I mean, I could not, George, I could not believe that this was the line. I am taking the Cincinnati Bengals -3. You can get it. I'm going to stick to the rules. Opened at 3. It's 3.5 now. Our friends over at FanDuel have this at 3.5. I mean, to me, this is your classic 4.5, 5. I mean, what have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers done to earn this respect? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not a good football team. They are 28th in the NFL in points scored, 18th in the NFL in yards. And you might say, okay, well, they got a pretty good defense, right? No one does that well against them in fantasy. And it's fine. Their defense is fine. 9th in points allowed, 10th in yards allowed. Now, maybe if T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd don't play, I'll feel stupid. But T. Higgins has practiced all week. Tyler Boyd returned to practice yesterday. Ja'Marr Chase is fine. I mean, and I'm not even a guy who really bets on the Bengals all that often. But I don't think can the Buccaneers even get to 21 points? I don't think so. So I got the Cincinnati Bengals here. But I like your pick as well. Betting against the young guy making his first NFL start feels pretty good. So Saints and the Bengals are our selections this week. Let's go ahead and get into fantasy or reality. All right, George, so Kenny Pickett is in the concussion protocol for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not looking like I think it is impossible. If you haven't cleared by Friday, I don't believe that you can start at all for your team. So Kenny Pickett's not going to play, of course. They have Mitch Trubisky sitting there on the roster. Mason Rudolph, the old Oklahoma State quarterback, has been on the Steelers roster. I think longer than Big Ben at this point. I think he's just part of the furniture there for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Deontay Johnson was asked this week after practice who he wants to see start. And he actually gave like a pretty impassioned speech saying that Mason Rudolph is quote-unquote his guy. So fantasy reality, Mason Rudolph deserves to start on Sunday. He deserves a shot this weekend. George, what say you?
You know, generally when we do fantasy reality, I become a lawyer, right? I really read the question here. Mason Rudolph deserves a shot. Does he deserve a shot? No. He's already had his shot and failed, right? Multiple times. Yes. I'm not going to say he deserves a shot. If the question would have been, should start, I might feel differently. You know, then it might be, yeah, maybe he should start over Trubisky. But just as a fan of watching the games, I don't want to see Mason Rudolph. He's not good. There's no excitement here. This game's already going to be on the, oh, tough to watch game, Pittsburgh, Carolina. And I got Mason Rudolph as starting quarterback here. So no, when you put deserves a shot, I'm going to put fantasy. If you're going to put should start, I'd probably put reality here because Trubisky's been pretty bad. But at least Trubisky's somewhat exciting. You know, he might throw a pick six, he might fumble, he might run for 40 yards. You never know what the man's going to do. So I'd rather watch as a fan, I would rather watch Trubisky. So, and I've already seen Rudolph fail. That's what it comes down to me. I've seen him fail multiple times. That Jets Steelers game is still burned in my memory from what, 2 years ago when I had to watch that. I'm going to strangle myself. I jump off a roof here. So deserves a shot? No, I think he's already failed. So I'm not going to say he deserves a shot. So I'm going to say fantasy here because of the word deserves.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% correct. He's no good. He's been in the NFL since 2019. He was a, you know, pretty decent college player selected in the third round of the 2018 NFL draft. Because of injuries, he did actually have to start 8 games his rookie year. 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions on 283 passing attempts. He's been Big Ben's backup ever since then. You know, his best ever career game. He's never had a 3-touchdown game. He does have one career 300-yard game. It was in a loss against a Cleveland team that was not trying in week 17 of 2020. He doesn't add anything as a rusher. You know, Trubisky can run around and scramble and move around a little. Like, at least he adds a little bit of juice, a little bit of excitement. No, Mason Rudolph does not deserve a chance. Although for that matter, like, what does Mitch Trubisky deserve a chance? Like, what? Like, Mitch is not a good NFL quarterback either. So it's all just a mess there. But I'm same as you. I got fantasy. So, George, of course, it is the beginning of college football bowl season. We got opt-outs. We got transfers. We got guys who don't want to play because of the NFL draft. We got coaches. The college football bowl season the last couple of years has really turned into silly season. But the funny thing is that the earlier bowl games actually tend to be a little bit more hotly contested than the later ones, because obviously, you know, Ohio State and Florida and all these teams, they have guys who don't want to get hurt. They have guys who want to get ready for the NFL draft. But today's game, we have Miami of Ohio playing, and the game that that we're about to ask about is the University of Texas at San Antonio is going to play against Troy in the Duluth Trading Cure Bowl. So fantasy reality, the University of Texas at San Antonio, the Roadrunners will beat Troy today in the Duluth Trading Cure Bowl.
I love hearing all the names of these bowls they come up with. The Duluth Trading Cure. Are you kidding me? I definitely liked it back in the day. Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Rose Bowl, Aloha Bowl, whatever it was. Just easier. You know, Joe Lisi and I got into a heated debate once about players who want to don't play in these bowl games because they want to stay healthy for the NFL draft. He said, oh, they all should play. They owe it to the schools. BS, man. They owe nothing to the schools. All right, the schools are using them to make all this money as they possibly can here. Players owe it to themselves to stay healthy. Make that NFL draft. Make that money while you can in the pros here. So I have no problem, none, with any player who opts not to play in a bowl game. This way he protects his stock in the NFL draft. I know they're not allowed to have agents, but if I was an advisor or whatever, I'd advise them not to play in these games. I think it's nuts. You have nothing to gain here. Unless you're one of those guys who's a borderline first round, second round pick, then maybe you do have something to gain here. But if you know where you're going to be selected, no reason to play in my mind. I said I just wouldn't risk it. We've seen injuries. Jameson Williams last year, right? What was that? Sugar Bowl for Alabama. He ripped up his knee. We saw that. Just no reason to play in these games if you know where you're going to go. Protect your future, guys, here. As for the game itself, it's pretty much a coin toss here, right? Once again, the question is, will beat. So it's not they can beat. They will beat. I'll say fantasy. Give me Troy.
There we go. No, I'm gonna go reality. I like the Roadrunners. I like this quarterback they have, Frank Harris. He has almost 4,000 passing yards, 31 passing touchdowns, 600 rushing yards, 9 rushing touchdowns. They are a really good running team. They average 177 yards, 4.5 yards per carry. But they're also a pretty good passing team as well. Their defense has been pretty strong this year. And, Troy, no slouches either. Troy, not nearly as good running the ball. They average only 3.5 yards per carry as a team. Pretty decent passing. This fella, Gunnar Watson, 8.7 YPA as a passer, 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I have the University of Texas at San Antonio Roadrunners. Beep, beep, George, we're going the Roadrunners tonight. They are going. I think they start at 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern. I got the Roadrunners in that game, so I got a reality. Then finally, we're getting close. Our producers always love to throw us these questions about New Year's Eve, because the New Year's Eve telecast, all this, it's all a big deal. So we got New Year's Rockin' Eve. It's happening at Times Square. So fantasy or reality, George, you know at least one artist performing at New Year's Rockin' Eve, and the list is Duran Duran, J-Hope of BTS, which I know is a K-pop band, someone by the name of Jax, and New Edition. Fantasy reality, you know what any of those things are.
Well, I mean, by notes, do I know personally? Am I hanging out with these guys? No, so I don't know them that way. As far as have I heard of them? Sure, Duran Duran. I like Duran Duran. Got a couple of their albums here. So I'm a Duran Duran guy. I wouldn't put them in my top 10, probably not my top 25, but they've got a couple of good tunes. Yeah, New Moon on Monday, I think, is a really good song that I enjoy from them. New Edition, I certainly know a song or two by them as well. So I certainly know that band also here. The one you said in the middle, no clue. I have no idea what that is. A J-O, something like that? I don't know. Never heard of them. So, yes, I can actually say this is a reality. I do know at least one. Duran Duran would be by far the most. I grew up with them. Like I said, I think they may be a bunch of weird people. View to a Kill, the James Bond theme song? Sure. Good tune here. But, yes, I know Duran Duran pretty damn well.
Yeah, that's the only one. That's the only one that I know. I don't know this. The K-pop stuff, I'm just a little bit too old for that. I think to be into some of that stuff and the TikTok stuff, I think you got to be like 24 maybe. So I'm a bit too old for that. Now New Edition, is that like a 1980s like kind of like pop rap? Okay, yeah. So I know. I mean, I don't think I could name a song by New Edition, but I at least like got the category of what that is. Correct. Here's fun little George. I mean, this is not a fantasy reality. Favorite James Bond theme song, favorite James Bond introduction song of all, was there 28 movies? I'm putting you on the spot here. What's your favorite one?
Actually, you're not putting me on the spot at all. I'm a big James Bond guy. I'm a Sean Connery guy. I liked Roger Moore as well. I thought Roger Moore was great. He played it with a little bit more humor than Connery, or a little bit more not as serious as Connery. Give me Thunderball as far as my favorite James Bond song. Thunderball. Goldfinger's good too.
It's definitely a little bit of recency bias. I do really like the Billie Eilish one, the most recent one. But for me, number one, and it's not even close, Diamonds Are Forever, man. How could it not be Shirley Bassey? Diamonds Are Forever, absolutely unbelievable. Obviously, kind of came to prominence in popular culture these days because Kanye West did a big sample of it. Not that we are pro Kanye West here on the program, because we are not. But yeah, Diamonds Are Forever for me, best James Bond theme song. Guys, that was Fantasy Reality. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick. Sports Grid 60 when we get back. See you back in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
As our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on FST on Sports Grid. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. As always, we're going to end the show with a little something we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
You know, Davis, I was moaning and groaning about this last night with Dave Sharapan on Endgame Live, so I'm going to continue here today. I wish the NFL... There is no greater time than NFL Sundays, about, 3:30 Eastern? That last half hour, 45 minutes at the end of the 1 o'clock games. You got 6, 7, 8, 9 games ending. Sometimes it's fantastic finishes we all want to watch. Why do you start games at 4 o'clock, you know, or 4:05? For the love of God, stop doing that. All right, stop. All right, I understand you have the late game. Yeah, that's a certain window. Fine. Start the prime games at 4:30 or the other games at 4:15. Let's get the 1 o'clock games over with before you start the 4 o'clock game. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to watch a great finish. Oh, my God, the 4 o'clock games have started. Why do you intermingle them? Doesn't make sense here. Usually the NFL, in my mind, does a great job with most of the stuff they do. This is one thing I don't think they do a good job of. I hate when these games coincide with each other. Separate them.
I don't disagree with that point either. We're on the same wavelength today because I also have a complaint, which is, look, fellas, we gotta dome these stadiums. I mean, does a stadium in Kansas need to be domed? Does a stadium in Florida need to be domed? Like, whatever. But these stadiums in the Northeast, where we can expect like inches and inches and inches of precipitation and freezing cold weather and 30-mile-an-hour winds, like, come on. A $50 billion business, an $80 billion business. We cannot have Miami Buffalo being turned into, a circus game, like a children's two-hand touch football game because of weather. We got to dome these stadiums. Buffalo, you should be embarrassed for not building a dome stadium with Josh Allen up until this point. Everyone, thank you very much for watching the program. Thanks to George. Hope Craig's having a good day. Thanks to everyone over at LTN. See you later, everyone. Stay on the grid. See you back on Monday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.